This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Buckets. A new year has begun. A new season is upon us. And despite being on a minutes restriction, as we ease our way back into action, we are back with Billy Scafuri.
You're getting bucket buckets.
Game on, Amir. We're back, buddy.
Wow, what a fucking long ass. How long has it been since we talked last? Years?
Years, weeks. Time knows no concept at this point. It's just a big blur. The Lakers won the championship about 48 hours ago, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, we're both the NBA champions and also a 2-2 basketball team. I don't know how that happened, but here we are.
When you say 2-2 basketball team, are you talking about my beloved New York Knicks or your beloved
here
Los Angeles Lakers?
Here we go. Now we're
footing.
In it.
Equal
finally.
Footing.
Finally. Let's get into it already.
I'm saying, dog, we're good now. We are good. Juju Randall, baby.
So every team has played 2, 3, or 4 games, mostly 3 or 4 games. And this is kind of an interesting part of the season because you don't know whether, okay, is this the new reality or just like a random 4-game sample size? Like,
right.
Did the Magic go 4-0 in the middle of last season? We just didn't care because they were also like 13-29 before that.
Right.
Probably. Mm-hmm. I didn't do the math.
Nope.
So I thought we should play a game that I called, is this the trend or the end? You get that?
Got it. Yeah. There'd be a really cool like guitar sting if this was a radio show right now. Like, din-din-din-din.
Exactly. Exactly. The trend or the end. So me and you found some common themes. Have you been watching a lot of basketball this first week?
I have been watching a lot of basketball, and I've been watching even more FanDuel points go up and down. I've been watching more digital points go up and down than actual basketballs being dribbled.
Yeah, we're back on the daily fantasy. It's like we never went away. It's like riding a bike. You know, you just get right back into it, and suddenly you care about Lauri Markkanen's minute restriction or something like that.
You're totally
Who's
right.
Who's fucked you recently in FanDuel that you're like, why did I do this, and now he has 0.5 points?
I mean, Lu Dort, man. I'm reminded of all of the things where it's like on back-to-backs when a guy has a good game, and then you're like, well, he's obviously going to have another good game, and then he doesn't
That's
have a
right.
good game because he already had his one good game of the back-to-back.
Yeah, it's hard to go 20-10 on 2 nights in a row against the same team that is now sort of planning on, you know.
That's right.
Defending him differently.
Unless you're Jokic and then you're averaging like 25, 16, and 12 every single night. What is going on there? Jesus.
He's got the numbers that everyone thought Luka would have. So it's like, all right, is Jokic now an MVP candidate?
That's right.
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, Harden also, I mean, coming off of 5 straight strip club appearances, had 44 and 17. So,
yes, 40. That's 2 good games. It's 2 22-9 games
yes.
in 1 game,
yeah.
which are both good games.
Yeah. So, FanDuel is back, and so is the NBA.
Okay. Here's the first theme that I drummed up. Let's see if you think this is the trend or the end. Injuries, specifically calf injuries, but we could talk about injuries in general. People seem to be getting hurt at a much higher clip than the last couple of years, but maybe that's just anecdotal evidence. What do you think?
I think that is probably a trend for now that will start to end halfway through the season. You know, I think that everyone's coming off of, there's players who haven't played for half a season when other guys were in the bubble, and now they're forced to play real NBA action, not just like 5-on-5 like practice games, you know? So
yeah,
I think some bodies are like kind of waking up and a little shocked. Then there's the Kevin Loves of the world where it's like, you got your 1.5 games in for the season. This is exactly how we knew it was going to go. You
know? Yeah. Like, so why specifically calf? I just searched Fantasy Labs NBA calf on Twitter, and it's just like, Lauri Markkanen, calf questionable. Josh Richardson, calf probable. Kevin Love, calf out 3 to 4 weeks. AD missed the game because of calf.
Obi Toppin, perhaps?
Green. Obi Toppin like played one game this year and then hurt his calf instantly.
Yeah, yeah, calves. Why is it the calf? I guess running and jumping is one of the more important elements of basketball in general. And
right.
The calf does most train, of that.
You can train for 9 months and then you play one game and you're like, actually, my calf can't stand this. It's over. Yeah. It's ruined. It's done.
Yeah. Kevin Love, you made this joke first, so all credit due to you, plays for the Cleveland Cavs.
There we go. Right. He's a great Cleveland calf.
Right.
And then the Cavs are doing great despite these calves.
Yeah, until they ran into the buzzsaw that is the New York Knicks.
The New York Knicks. Right. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. The whole calf thing is
soft tissue injuries. That's haven't played in a while and this is to be expected.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's a lot better than a torn ACL. Shout out Spencer Dinwiddie or like MCLs, you know. It's better than Achilles. So if it has to be an injury. It is weird though, the spectrum where Obi Toppin has a strained calf, and his projected timeline is he'll be looked at in about a week. Doctors will start looking at him in a week. Kevin Love has a strained calf, and he has a like 4 week timeout. So,
yeah,
not all calves are built the same, I guess, is the lesson there.
And is it an age thing? Is it a Cleveland thing? Is it like, did he actually injure his calf more hard than Obi Toppin did, I wonder?
Well, it was weird because he missed most of the preseason. This is Kevin Love. Then he missed the first game of the season, came back the second, and played like 38 minutes into overtime on the first leg of a back-to-back. He played the back-to-back game, which made no sense because healthy guys like LeBron aren't even supposed to be playing in those games. And he played eight minutes and then got taken off the court and is out for 4 weeks. So...
And I never see the calf injury. It's always just like, where did that person go? Oh, now he's gone because he has a calf. Like, you never, it's like, unlike with an ankle, like John Morant landed on a foot. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I saw that injury. Mm-hmm. You never see the calf injury. It seems like it happens in silence.
Yeah, you can really kind of use that as a scapegoat where it's like, if the Cleveland Cavs didn't want him to play or they want to use him as trade bait, they can just say, oh, it's a calf injury, you know, and that's that. So,
It's the new back spasms.
Right. It's the new Paul Pierce going in a wheelchair because he hurt himself, but really it's because he pooped his pants. It's like no one could really know in the moment.
Have you ever injured your calf?
I don't think I've ever injured my calf because, as we've established, it's a fake injury made up by GMs and coaches alike.
That's right, yeah. What about a hammy? Ever heard a lower leg, a hammy?
Yeah, pulled a hammy. Those take forever to heal. They take forever to heal. Yeah.
That's a sprinting injury, right? It's just like, something like a rubber band snapped in the back of my leg.
Yeah, it's one of those you pull up. You're running and then suddenly you pull up and you're like hopping on one leg and you're like, this isn't good at all.
That happened to, I think, Embiid yesterday, strained his hammy.
Did he? Because he had like 28 and 16 last night.
He did. And then I think he hurt his hammy.
Wow. So he was on pace for like a 40-40 game.
Yeah, you know, just another classic 40-40 game against Toronto, who's also struggling. All right, what's your next theme?
My next theme is, well, it's not so much a theme. I guess it's more of a question. Is it a trend or the end? Do you think that at the end of this season, so most teams don't, do all teams not have fans in the stands right now? Are there some teams that have fans in the stands?
Some teams, I think, have minimal fans in the stands. I think I saw Utah. They were like, this is how the minimal fans in the stands should act during this situation. But yeah, most do not.
I think it's safe to assume that you and I both think that's absurd. More than 300,000 people have died from a disease in less than one calendar year. So no reason to force that. Do you think, though, that with the vax, that every team in the NBA will have fans in the stands by game 72?
I'm pessimistic about the rollout of this vaccine. It seems to be going very slowly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So by the time we can have new, like by the time fans get in the stand, I feel like we have to have given out tens of millions of vaccine. And I don't know if that'll happen in like March or April.
Got it. So we're saying that this is the end of fans for this season, correct?
I think some states will be fucking crazy and like just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't give a shit. Like,
right.
I don't know, teams in Florida.
Right.
But I think the majority of teams will not have. I think this is the trend. I think it's a trend that's going to stick around until at least the playoffs.
Oh, wow. That'd be interesting if for the playoffs they brought in fans and then shit hit the fan. The irony of it all.
Shit will actually hit the fans who decided to show up.
That is right. That's also very depressing.
I mean, we've had We've had like fans at college football games. Like you look at like some of these like bowl games. Like why are there 25,000 people at this like North Carolina football game?
Because of money, man. It's the worst. It is the absolute worst.
In theory, it should happen. Yeah, indoors too. But
I'm curious, we'll as see. You, the fan, have you adapted? Do you miss? Of course, we miss the fans. But like, do you care now? Do you feel like an element is actively missing from your watching experience?
Yeah, sadly, I'm getting used to it. But it does like. A home team hits back-to-back threes and it's just like there's no eruption, there's no momentum, there's no like fans trying to get a team back into it. Home team's down 8 with like 4 minutes left.
Let's right.
like get on your feet and try to root this team back. It's just like, it feels like a practice game or something.
I'm with you though. It has normalized and that's a bad thing where it's like, I don't expect fans, so I'm not disappointed.
Yeah, or there's like the piped in noise that just feels like weirdly artificial. Like they only have like one type of fan noise and it's like joy, so like they just use it whenever. Like, all right, it was an out of bounds. It's not the same as when a three goes down. You don't have to like do like the extreme jubilation.
I remember when the NBA.com tried to come up with a thing where it's like you can click this button to enhance crowd noise in the stadium. I was like, yeah, I'm not going to be doing that.
And it's always like a little delayed. Like a three goes in, and then it's, this guy's looking for a button. All right, now.
Yeah. You miss the next shot because you're looking for where the joy button is.
Not ideal.
Yeah.
Not ideal at all.
Nope.
All right. Here's the theme. Huge, massive, boring blowouts. Clippers lost by 51 against Dallas.
Yeah.
That was a Saturday matinee game. Then yesterday, Milwaukee beat Miami by 47.
Right.
Yeah. At one point, the Suns were up by like 42. It's like, what's the deal there? Is that a byproduct of the no fans? Is it the COVID? Is it just a random aberration?
I think it's a random aberration, I think, because if you watched that Clippers game, they couldn't score. Like, they had quarters where they scored like 12. I mean,
the coach, like 38.
The coach could tell you not to score, and it would still be hard to only score 12. You know, like, sometimes the ball just doesn't go in.
So why did it just happen twice in the last week? Like, these are 40-plus point blowouts. You're saying it's more of the end than the trend.
I guess so. However, I guess that what would play against what I'm saying and would be the trend is that day where the Knicks beat, where so it was the Mavs beat the Clips. Then the Knicks beat the Bucks by like 20 or 30 points. It was the day where nothing made sense. Like, of course, the Lakers ended up beating the Timberwolves at the end of the day. But it was like there was like four upside down games. So what it does kind of feel like is that like the worst teams aren't going to be as bad as we thought. And the best teams might not be as great as we thought, you know,
on a day to day basis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Clippers shouldn't lose.
I remember those. Yeah, I remember those games because I bet an actual, like a money line parlay. I'm like, let me just get these three obvious favorites to win. Who messes this up? The Bucks just have to beat the Knicks.
Come on.
The Nets just have to beat the Hornets. Duh. And Kyrie and KD were playing. And then the Sixers had to beat the Cavs.
Dude.
These are all like, these are all
no brainers. Truly no brainers.
Within like 2 hours, the Nets had lost. The Cavs were up 30 and the Knicks were up 27 in Milwaukee. It was the weirdest thing. I'm like, am I causing this weird shit to happen? If I had bet the opposite, it would have been like a 40-1 hit.
40-1 seems low. I mean, like, that would just be like, pick your money. Like, you should get $1 million if you picked that. It doesn't even matter what you bet. You should just get $1 million in return.
Especially close games, maybe, but blowouts, that should have never happened. And all three of them happened in like the same like 20-minute chunk.
So of those three games that you bet, which one were you most confident? Would it have to be the Bucks and the Knicks? Because I thought the Nets were going to absolutely smoke the Hornets.
Yes, it was three of the best teams against literally three of the worst teams.
Yeah.
And all the bottom feeders destroyed the top guys.
And like, the Hornets
Nets
game,
the Knicks beat the Bucks by 40, and then the next game the Bucks won by 50.
And the Nets game, I agree, it makes no sense. And the Nets game, it was like a good hard fight in the fourth quarter. It wasn't even like the Nets just like gave up and they're like, who cares about this game? Like, they like Durant missed like a baseline buzzer beater to try and tie it. Like, they lost a good hard game. Like, it was basketball, so it really made no sense. They are so far the superior team.
Yes, and then the Nets rested Kyrie and KD and almost beat the Grizzlies the next night.
Yeah.
Whatever. Weird stuff. It's been a weird week, for sure. All right, do you have another the trend or the end?
The The Raptors haven't won a basketball game in the NBA this year. Am I right in saying that?
That's right.
They have been
their own four, yes.
They have been one of those teams where it's like, it doesn't even matter if they have superstars or not. They're well coached. They have a great GM. They are going to be a three seed no matter what. Are they going to be a bad team all year this year? The trend or the end, Amir?
I have to think they're not going to be 0-72. They're going to get back to 500, I would think.
Right.
I think this is the end. I think they're just having a weird start. Like, they've played some tough teams and they've played some close games. And like, if they were 1-3 or 2-2, we wouldn't really be talking about them right
now. But 0-4 is different because after each loss, you get on the plane and you talk to your teammates and you say, not again, not again. Like, good teams find a way of kind of like willing themselves to say, well, we're not going to lose the next game after that loss. And they haven't done that yet. We haven't seen them win a game. So it is worthy of saying, is it a trend? I'm starting to think that like their run of just being a very competent team might just be over. You know, like,
okay, here's what it is. They're actually 0-3, not 0-4. Mm-hmm. So there we go.
Big.
Their fourth game should be an exciting one. It's against your New York Knickerbockers.
I'm telling you, man, not an easy game anymore. It's so weird. It's not a guaranteed win.
And that is, of course, at their home stadium of the Amalie Arena in Tampa, Florida. So maybe that has something to do with it. The fact that they're playing in an empty arena in Tampa Bay.
Is that a Major League Soccer stadium? I've never even heard of the company Amalie. Is that like a sparkling water company?
Yes, it's named after a thing we've never heard of in a city that doesn't have any basketball presence whatsoever. I don't know what's generally happening at the Amalie Arena in Tampa. But
some guy named John Amalie had 15 Bitcoin and decided to buy a stadium, and the Raptors showed up.
Yeah, very bizarre.
So you think?
I think the Raps turn it around.
Tell me why. Tell me their path to success. Siakam starts to just explode. Kyle Lowry figures things out. OG Anunoby decides.
They have good players, and the stats look pretty good. Van Vliet at 27 one game, Siakam at 15 boards, Lowry almost had a triple-double. They're close. They lost to the Spurs by 5 and the Sixers by 7. If they destroy the Knicks, then we won't like necessarily be talking about the Raptors as this weird aberration.
Got it. So it's an overreaction right now, just a couple of bad bounces.
I think it's the end of that little mini-run.
Okay.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, sort of on that notion, the top three teams in the East, of course, are the Orlando Magic at 4-0, the Atlanta Hawks at 3-0, and the Cavs are 3-1. So these three teams who were, I think, had the worst over-unders going into the season.
Insane.
Are 12-1, 11-1 right now.
Right.
Just world beaters.
Right.
Do these teams make the playoffs? Is this a trend or is this the end of their reign?
I mean, I think that Orlando and Atlanta are legit. The Cavs of it all is nuts to me.
So you think Orlando is pretty good?
I do think they're pretty good. I think that they've always been pretty good and somehow they've just like turned a corner. I haven't watched a minute of an Orlando Magic game. Like, don't get me wrong. They haven't gotten to that point where it's like must see TV. Like, I have watched Atlanta Hawks basketball. I haven't watched Magic. But I mean, you don't go 4-0 by accident. You don't stumble into a 4-0, you know?
Yeah. 4-0 is pretty good.
Can you point to why they are 4-0? Have you done any sort of like statistical research?
Markel Fultz is playing really well. Mm-hmm. Oddly enough. Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Isaac? Or is it Terrence Ross?
Still out. He has like an ACL.
It's Terrence Ross I'm thinking of. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
remember Chris Wendelken in the fantasy, the over under draft, where he's like, I'm just going to take all these shitty teams in the East to perform poorly.
Yeah.
So his first pick was the Bulls under, which is doing well. Mm-hmm. But then he took the Magic under, yikes, the Cavs under,
yikes,
and the Wolves under, which is doing poorly.
I did not know that he took the Magic under. That one hurts. My issue with Wendelken's approach to the draft is, and I know he's listening to this, and I know that he's not going to like what he hears, but they were all like 20 to 24 win projections, something like that, right? So they would have to, in order to get like a real big, juicy win, like overall season win from those teams, they would have to win like 12 or 13 games to get like a +8 for him. And that just seemed, that seems highly unlikely. At best, it seems like they would win 17 and he might get a +3 or +4 from those teams. So,
although I will say he also took the Pistons under, and that was 23.5. And yeah, I guess I can see a world where they go 12-60. The Pistons are an absolute dumpster fire.
Right.
They're just a really weirdly assembled bad mojo team right now.
Right. I mean, the Cavs could have been 4-0 if they didn't run into the buzzsaw New York Knicks, who are just straight up take no prisoners.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Knicks 2-2. Mm-hmm. The trend or the end? Are they a 500 team?
I don't know what their schedule looks like. I don't know if they have like a run of like 5 A+ games ahead of them, where it's like they have to play the Lakers and Clippers back to back, and then they have to play like you know, just like the stud teams.
I mean, they destroyed the Bucks, so I don't know how much that matters.
I just don't know if we can use that as a real example game. Like, that game was bananas. Like, everything went right for the Knicks, everything went wrong for the Bucks, and it seemed like spiritually at some point both teams acknowledged this is just happening. Like, in a 7-game series, that's not happening again. You know, that's not going to be 4 games for the Knicks. But I will say that they are far more competent than I think most people gave them credit for. I do think that Tibbs is making them improve game by game, which I'm surprised by. And I do think that one of the Knicks fans' least favorite players, Julius Randle, has been performing at the height and beyond the height of his abilities thus far.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gotten to the point where it's like, let's play Randle so that he plays well and we can trade him. And now it's like, wait a minute, he's playing so well. Should we just have him? He's already on our team. Like, wait, why are we trading this guy if he goes for 24-point triple-doubles?
Right.
Maybe we should just keep him.
The Knicks have been so bad for so long that the only, like, when we have a successful player, our whole thought is, well, let's get rid of him because we're going to be bad. So it's like, why have one good player? You know, but now it's like, wait, we're 2-2 and he's had a triple double. We've had like 9 triple doubles in the past 20 years. Did you know that?
No.
They put up a list during the Knicks game last night on the screen of the Knicks triple doubles, which is already so humiliating that like you would have.
Because like Luka had like 28 last year alone.
Russell Westbrook averaged one for 2 straight years. And they put up a list of just like overall Knicks triple doubles, and like Latrell Sprewell was on the list. Like, it was really, they went back on it. And I gotta say, I mean, Juju had one last night, and it was like, okay, he's our point guard, he's our power forward, he's our shooting guard. It's like, I'll take it.
And it's not been the young guy, like Quickly and Toppin, which were like, let's get them as many reps as possible, instantly got hurt.
Yep.
And now like Randle and Alec Burke and I guess RJ Barrett is one of the youngsters, is playing so well.
Yeah. I mean, we're just competent. And that is so far and away what Knicks fans are used to. Like, the Knicks games always start in the fourth quarter. It's like that's when the Knicks games happen. That's when we lose the quarter by like 25 points. And we're like, well, we looked good for a minute. And this year we're finishing.
Yeah.
That's the big difference, I think. We're holding leads. We're playing defense.
Yeah. You got a tough stretch coming up, I will say. I looked up the Knicks schedule. It's the Raptors are next. Mm-hmm. So the Raptors are starving for a win.
That's right.
Then the Pacers.
Tough. Pacers are real good this year.
Pacers are very good. And then you're playing the Hawks, another overperforming team that can't seem to be stopped.
Mm-hmm. Those are.
Then you go home for the Jazz, the Thunder, and the Nuggets. And two of those three are pretty hard as well.
Crap. Well, those three Eastern Conference games, I mean, there's a world in which we go 2-1 because
that's what you're hoping for,
I mean, the Raptors haven't won a game yet, so we can at least tell ourselves that. The Atlanta Hawks are overperforming, so we can at least tell ourselves that. And, I mean, so are the Pacers to a certain extent. Although I will say, Domantas Sabonis, dog, is killing.
He's a beast.
He's killing everyone. And now he's jacked. He was always tall and good, but now he flexes after he does cool moves, and you're like, look at those goddamn arms.
He kind of reminds me of Julius a little bit. They're both like these huge lefty bulls that can't seem to be guarded.
How many years has he been in the league? 3? DeMontis?
Yeah, three or four.
He's always been good and always getting better, but this year is the year. Like, week one, I think he was the Eastern Conference Player of the Week.
Yes, he was. Him and Ingram.
Yeah.
For the East and West.
I gotta say, man, Ingram, what a leap. That dude is... He's arrived, too, it seems like.
Yeah. He did it last year, too. He was averaging 20-some-odd points. But yeah, now he's, like, getting into that echelon of guy who just, like... can't be stopped if he's on it.
Yeah, and I'll say this to anyone who plays FanDuel or DraftKings. If the option is Kevin Durant at 9,500 or Brandon Ingram at 7,800, take Ingram all day, every day. Because he provides so many more categories. Like, I was watching Durant, and the dude is a walking 28-point game. You know, walking 40-point game, no problem. But he doesn't rebound. He always runs out to the wing immediately. Like, he just doesn't get those extra stats.
Yeah, I guess why do you need to? Like, I remember after I hurt my ankle, I'm like, I'm just not going to jump in the paint anymore. Like, there's no reason for Kevin Durant to jump into, I don't know, whoever he's playing, Aaron Baines, like 30 times a game.
If you get five rebounds from Kevin Durant, you should consider that a win if you're a fantasy player.
Yeah. And then ideally like a steal or a block because he's still very long.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's just a little sidetrack. Fantasy is clearly on the front of the brain right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Next trend.
Next trend. You texted me this today. There were no COVID cases in the NBA in this last round of tests. Have we seen the end of COVID in the NBA?
I'm curious to know how much of it is just because like 300 of them already had it. So like it's like we've reached, quote, herd immunity in the league. Mm-hmm. Like it's not very easy to get it again from what I understand. Or is it just like people being safe? I would assume... That's not going to keep up. In a non-bubble environment, you're going to have to get some cases.
Right.
And like when that happens, it's going to, you know, it's a contagious virus. More than one person's going to get it.
All right. So this isn't, so that won't be a trend of 0-0-0 for the next couple of weeks. Because there's like some weird mystery PR happening where it's like, you sent me a text that said, Caruso can't play for health reasons, period. And it was like, what aren't you saying?
He's in the health and privacy protocol or something like health and safety protocol. So it's like, okay, was he around someone who had COVID at a family barbecue?
Right.
Did he just like go get a haircut? I know probably not for Caruso. Or is it like this guy tested positive and now has coronavirus?
Because I've never heard that expression health and safety protocol pre-COVID era NBA.
No.
Like this is a whole new.
Happen.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So we're expecting a few more cases along the way probably.
Yeah, and you know, like, just like in the NFL, like, 2 becomes 8, becomes 16, and suddenly, like, you're traveling with a weird party. And the first game of the year for the Rockets and the Thunder was postponed.
So that's actually going to be a follow-up to that. Do you think that another game or team will have to postpone the entirety of the game or a couple of games due to, or is the Rockets going to be this one isolated incident that we all learned from?
I'd bet on that's not the only, it can't be just that one game and then never again. There's going to be another 3 to 8 person flare up on a team, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain to me, because this is one thing I haven't understood, within the Rockets, how Boogie, John Wall, and a few players specifically were like, you four, like, no way you can come in. But like Harden, who was at a strip club for a while, is like, you can, it's fine. Like what, do you know what they did or what their circumstances were?
I believe it was like an indoor haircut situation. And then one of the guys actually, like one of the rookies had COVID who was in the room.
No way.
Whereas Harden just like went to a club.
Got it.
/ strip club. And they're like, all right, just in case, spend 4 days in isolation. And if you test negative for 4 days, then you're fine.
Got it. So it was like that situation with the quarterback, some whatever football team that was, where they all went in to that one room together. And they were like, you four quarterbacks. Exactly.
You know, the quarterback room.
Right, that one quarterback room that they all went to and they couldn't play quarterback that day.
Yeah, I think that was Denver. They started like a fifth string wide receiver at quarterback. Turns out it's hard to play quarterback.
God,
weird, right?
When you and your friends say, I could at least like throw 100 yards in the NFL. No, you couldn't, because that dude was an all-state quarterback and he was shook.
He went like 1 of 9.
He was shook.
Like 4 picks.
Get me out of here, coach. Get me out of here.
And I bet he's better than me at throwing the football. I just know it.
Something
I just,
tells
I can
me.
Tell.
Something tells me.
The mechanics were there. The 7th step drop. He had it. He had it on some of these fucking throws were tight spirals.
Yeah, to the other team.
To the other team, but still.
Right.
Okay, here's a trend or an end. Are you aware of what Trae Young is doing this season?
He's doing a lot of offense.
He's an absolute, to borrow the name of the show, he's an absolute bucket. I mean, it's insane how much he's scoring and how much he's getting to the foul line.
Let's hear it. Do you have his line?
Quite impressive.
Do you have his line in front of us?
Yeah. Trae Young. Yeah, I had it up here. Here we go. He's averaging 34 points a game,
damn,
7 assists, and 4 rebounds. And his, I think he has like at least 12 free throws in all of those games.
I think that's going to be a trend for the rest of the season.
So he can lead the NBA in scoring this year.
Yes. Because if we rewind just a few years to Trae in college, do you remember how he was like so much better at offense than everybody else? Like he was just like this freak.
Pulling up from the logo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's no reason to believe that he couldn't do that with his peers just a few years later in the NBA. And it could be the case that now he's just surrounded by more talent than he's ever been surrounded by. So the league can't Steph Curry him like they're doing to Steph, which is like, you didn't have talent, so we're just going to double and triple team you. You know what I mean?
So maybe it's just so early for him, but I feel like we're not talking about him the way we talk about like Ja Morant or like some of these other young guys who are like, you know, like, wow, this guy, like Jason Tatum's like averaging 26 points per game. Like, can he do that more? And it's like, all right, what if Trae Young is averaging 32 points per game and he's 22 years old and he's also getting to the line and he's also leading his team in assists?
Yeah. Like,
is he first team All NBA then?
Yes. Like, With those numbers, I mean, like, no one can, if he can hold those numbers throughout the whole season, you're the MVP. Like, I mean, you are, right? 34-8-4.
Well,
I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Plus, your team is his 3-1. I mean, they scored 160 in their first game. Am I wrong in saying that? $160?
The Hawks?
Yeah, didn't they score?
No, they're 3-0. They haven't lost.
So, I mean, he's unstoppable, clearly. But what was, do you have their first game score in front of you? I think they scored like 140, maybe, out the gate. They couldn't stop scoring. It was freaky.
Yeah, so they won 128-112, then 122-112, then 124-104.
So that's what I'm
saying. Averaging like 120 some odd a game, yeah.
Unstoppable.
It would be cool if, after all this, Trae Young did become the better player to Luka Doncic. That would be like a complete reversal as to what all the basketball nerds have been saying for the last 3 years.
I mean, it's starting to become at least statistically true. I mean, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, Luka came in with, I think he was the MVP favorite to win. I don't know if that's still true anymore.
Yeah, so what's going on with Luka right now? Because in the bubble, he was a freak. He was a walking triple-double, like, without question.
Yeah.
And now it seems like his numbers have all kind of come down. Is this, again, just a trend where it's just like he is just kind of getting warmed up? It's 3 games into the season. We're overreacting. Because they're, what, 1-2? And he hasn't had a triple-double yet. He hasn't had that kind of freaky game. Yeah. His team did beat the Clippers by 51 game, but...
that was cool.
Yeah, but he doesn't look as unstoppable as he did, at least in the bubble. Am I wrong in saying that?
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah, and everyone was like, this guy is going to lead his team even without Porzingis. And now the talk is like, they really need Porzingis back there. Like, they're not that much without Porzingis. It's just Luka and a bunch of role players without Porzingis.
Right.
So it's like, all right, that narrative changed very quickly.
Put some respect on Dorian Finney-Smith's name, dogs. Show Dwight Powell some love. Show Maxi Kleber some love. Some goons.
Yeah, it really is like Luka Doncic and like 9 of the same players. So it's like Josh Richardson, Dorian Finney-Smith, Tim Hardaway Jr., Trey Burke. It's just like 6-foot-something-inch buckets next to Luka Doncic, and then a few tall guys as well.
And as a Knicks fan, we would love to see the Mavs underperform all season because we have their first-round pick in a stacked 2021 draft.
That's next year or the year after?
We have their 2021 first. I believe we have their 2022 second and then their 2023 first.
Wow. For a player who doesn't seem to be able to play basketball very much.
Fleeced him, Amir. Fleeced him well.
all right. Do you have any last themes?
I think we covered most of my themes. How are you doing on your themes?
I got a few left.
Why don't you rifle through some themes?
The Wizards haven't won a game. They had Beal, they had Westbrook, all these role players, Bertans, Thomas Bryant, played pretty well last year, didn't play any defense. And then it's like, oh, Westbrook's joining this team. They're replacing John Wall, who didn't play at all. This could be a playoff team. This could be a top 5 team.
Yeah.
And they just haven't won yet.
I think they rip off wins. I think that they. I think that that team trends up throughout the course of the season.
Yeah, it's so basically it's like a complete topsy turvy. Like teams that are 0-4 now, like Washington and Toronto, you would assume start playing well and make the playoffs. And teams that are 4-0, 3-1,
right?
Orlando, Cavs, Hawks might miss the playoffs.
I am curious. Yes, I think so. I just don't think that they're as bad as their record shows. I feel bad for the coach because he got Russell Westbrook. I'm sure the coach had a game plan going into this season with the roster that he had. And he was like, this is how I'm going to use this roster. And then like out of nowhere, it seems like the GM woke up one morning. He's like, I'm just going to like fuck around right now. I'm going to fuck around and just trade Wall for Westbrook. And the coach was like, not in the plans, guy.
Well, you know who the coach is.
Who's the coach?
Westbrook's old coach from Oklahoma City, Scott Brooks.
Oh my God.
So if anybody knows how to use Westbrook or doesn't, maybe it is Scott Brooks. I wonder if he's like, ah, shit.
Yeah.
Like, I finally escaped Russell. And it's like, good news. We traded for Russell.
We got your guy.
No. Not my guy.
No. I actually left. I actively left. It didn't really work out the first time. Okay. No. He's here. Great. Okay. Welcome, Russ.
Hey, Russell.
I mean, it's tough to just automatically make a player like that work. Like, he's going to get you your triple-double, but schemes really help. Like, if your team has a scheme that you do well based on the roster, and that was really just like throwing in a talent bomb into the middle of whatever your plan probably was.
But it seems like he's playing all right. Like, he had a triple-double too, didn't he?
And Beal is bananas. Like, Beal's like a top five dude in the NBA, it seems. Like, his lines at the end of the day are just... Him and DeRozan both have been, like, averaging, like, near triple-doubles. Like, quiet near triple-doubles. Like, 9 assists themselves.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is finally the time where they say, all right, we're 0-4. We can't make it work with Westbrook and all these people and Beal. Let's try to blow it up and send Beal to, I don't know, Dallas or Houston or somewhere.
God damn, that would be wild if that was somehow the reason that Beal got moved, because Westbrook showed up by accident overnight. I think they figure it out.
I mean, Beal would be like a championship caliber third banana on like any of these teams. With like, imagine Beal as the third player on the Clippers, mm-hmm. or Beal on the third player as, I don't know, Phoenix or Utah, mm-hmm. or Dallas. Mm-hmm. He'd be like he would change the landscape of the playoffs. And a lot of teams have like a lot of youngsters, great role players and picks to offer for him.
He seems happy there. Like in his interviews that I've heard where he's like interviewed on All the Smoke or Knuckleheads or whatever shows they are, it's like he does actively seem like he likes being in Washington. He wants to make them a winner. So it seems like he is a loyal dude who can really play ball, but he just hasn't won. It must be pretty frustrating.
Yeah, he did well with John Wall. Like, they won a few playoff series. Mm-hmm. They were kind of like...
Years ago, right?
Yeah, the playoff darlings. Yes, in like 2016. They would always like run into like Toronto or the Cavs.
Right.
But they would do well in the first couple rounds. And for whatever reason, Beal never got much further than that. But he's also still young. I think he's only like 26 or 27 still. So maybe it's like an Anthony Davis thing where it's like, if he's your best player and he's a 22, you might not go far. But like, if you pair him with like one of the A-plus elite level superstars, they can, win a championship.
Speaking of which, let's talk about that trend real quick. Your Los Angeles Lakers, in their wins, they look like their championship team, but in their losses, they have looked sluggish, lethargic, and a little just like mentally checked out, frankly. Is that?
Which I think, I think it's a championship thing. Like, we won a championship in October, and now it's December 29th, and we're playing the Minnesota Timberwolves, and it's like, excuse me for not giving it my all right now, but I know we're 2-1. Or it was Portland. I know we're 2-1. I don't have to like, try my damnedest right now, where it's like, it's about figuring things out, staying injury free and not like playing 42 minutes a night.
See, now I think that that's coaching. Like, a coach will say, I'm only going to play Anthony Davis 24 minutes this game. I don't care. It's game four of a 72 game season. The playoffs are the only thing that matter. But when the when the players are on the court, there has been like kind of just this like it's overstating it to say there's an indifference, but there isn't like, you think that the players just like turn up when they're on the court, like they're still going to just play hard because they're NBA basketball players and that's what they do. But they haven't had that energy.
They have. Yeah, they had in like the wins, but in the losses, they just look kind of like you said, like disinterested. I think it is like we've had a 4-game preseason and now this is game 3 and we just won a championship. And it's like, I'm using this almost like as a glorified preseason to like let me work on my 18-foot mid-range shot right. instead of trying to like bruise down low and try to jump for rebounds right now.
Yeah.
But Anthony Davis looked really either hungover or hurt or tired and the loss against Portland.
I don't know if I'll ever get over game one, LeBron James facing the other way during Morris's free throws. I know you're going to tell me that he was talking to his former friend, maybe a former coach, maybe it was Ty Lue, whoever. You don't do that, man. He showed up his teammate. It looked so weird and bad. So weird and cocky.
I need to watch that again.
Bad.
I think it felt like a preseason game to him. Like he's like, I'm going to use this as a tune-up, a playoff, a practice game, I should say. And I think Markieff was laughing at the line. I have to watch that.
He was
again.
Laughing
but
at
I think,
the line.
Like Morris didn't seem to.
He
care.
Was definitely yeah. laughing at the line. But I will tell you, athlete to athlete, he was laughing at the line because the guy who is doing it is the king, and you can't be mad. But like in the back of his mind, he's saying, "This asshole." He's like, "I'm an NBA player.
Really?
How could you wow. not like?" I don't know.
I think because he's Markieff Morris and the other guy's LeBron James. And I feel like it's like, you know, he like you said, he's the king. He's the goat. He's the birthday boy, by the way. Shout out to LeBron. Happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. 36 happy birthday. But face yeah. the right way. I mean, like, I'm an NBA player, too. It's like you're making my free throws about you right now, LeBron. Like, share the spotlight, dog. Like, what? This is it. Bad. I thought it was just a bad teammate move. I'll just say that.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, It definitely was game one vibes. I don't know if he does that in the playoffs or whatever, or even like in
no.
a closer regular season.
Yeah, game. No, he doesn't. No.
But I'm curious how the Lakers, like, do they come out and play with a chip on their shoulder tonight, or is it still like, it's December 30th. It's game 5 of 72.
Right.
Relax a little mm-hmm. bit. We don't need to win these games yet.
What was their over-under? Was it 49?
They're probably not wrong. Like, what team, even if the Lakers are the sixth seed, like, what team do they fear in the three? It's like, oh, shit, we're playing Utah instead of Denver, or we're playing Houston instead of San Antonio. Like, does it really matter?
No, it all feels pretty similar. Those, like, 3 through 8 teams. But the fear is that the Lakers become one of those Denver and Utah-type teams where it's like, you didn't steamroll us. You didn't win 52 of your 72 games. You won your 42 yeah. like all of us. And now there's no fear in the same way. You know, I don't know. They right. still have.
Which, this is the season I thought they'd have last year because it's, like, a new team with Anthony Davis. But for whatever reason, last year we, like, went off to this hot start. I think we were 19-3 in the first couple mm-hmm. months. So I thought we would like slowly on ramp as like LeBron figured out his teammates. But like, no, that's this year.
I'll tell you one thing I think you're going to miss, strangely enough, Dwight Howard. I think Dwight Howard both, was yeah. a real...
Both of our centers.
McGee was definitely who he was, and he had a good season last year. But Howard was like this slick and weird 10 rebounds and just muscle in the middle when, you know, yeah. when you just needed it. Like, Gasol will do what Gasol does. I guess he'll have some hot games along the way. But Howard was this weird, clever piece that I think really helped you dudes last year and got you lots of wins.
Yeah, especially like as the backup role where it's like, okay, now it's our second unit and we just need to Rajon Rondo to throw lobs to Dwight mm-hmm. Howard, Dwight Howard to put back mm-hmm. and get 6 offensive rebounds and dominate this undersized center. Now our backup is 6'8" Montrezl Harrell or our starter Marc Gasol. Mm-hmm. Neither of these guys are bodying up anybody.
Yeah, watching Harrell, how do you feel about that? Like, do you feel like this dude's going to win us some games? I guess I think
of him as an upgrade over Dwight Howard in that he's like a good bench backup center. Mm-hmm. I still think we need to find some sort of buyout or trade for a legit 7-footer to play either instead of Marc Gasol mm-hmm. or when Marc Gasol wants to rest or needs a break. We're missing that JaVale McGee type. But, you know, we found Dwight Howard in the middle of last year, too, and everyone was clowning
True.
On us. So I wonder if there's any other 7-footer who's either going to get waived. Like, maybe it will be JaVale McGee when
Interesting.
The Cavs are 4-16 or another 7-footer X to be named later that we can just plug in and play for 18 minutes a night.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you guys were long and athletic last year. Do you think your roster this year is currently better than your roster was last year?
I think the common phrase, which I kind of agree with, is that we're better offensively and worse defensively.
Defense so wins like championships, our, dog.
Yeah, like Rondo became Schroeder, who's like great at finishing and super a lot better at like mid-range jumpers and three-pointers. We turn McGee into Marc Gasol, who can hit threes. We turn Dwight into Harrell, who can, you know, get 17 and 11 a game. But we're missing the defense. But also, you know, Alex Caruso hasn't played, and he's oddly a big part of our defense. Right. We're like playing 11 people right now because like we don't want to play anybody a lot of minutes. So it's like we're not too concerned about all these games yet.
Okay. Well, TBD. Yeah. TBD. But you're 2-2, just like my beloved New York Knicks.
That's true. And both of us are two games behind the beloved Orlando Magic, who can't seem to lose a game.
72-0, Mickey Mouse, Orlando Magic.
Have you seen any rookies? Real quick, we could talk about that before we sort of got into the draft this year. Have you like noticed any rookies now that they're actually playing basketball? Like, have any of them caught your eyes?
I've been watching because I have him on one of my fantasy teams, Anthony Edwards, who's a bulldog. He doesn't get a lot of stats, but I think he's going to be a very good player in this NBA. He's averaging like 14 out the gate. Yeah. He shoots, he doesn't care.
It's weird. I always try to put them into like, who do they remind me of? And like Anthony Edwards doesn't really remind me of anyone. He's kind of like a taller Eric Bledsoe, but like he's a much better shooter.
And jacked.
Yeah, he's super athletic.
His arms.
Yeah, super jacked.
His arms are like ready, NBA ready arms. But yeah,
for sure.
No one in the first three has been like mind blowing. I hate to say it, and Wendelken won't like hearing this when he inevitably hears this, but Obi concerns me just a little bit.
From what I've seen, he looks like a 17-year-old, where it's like, this is a very raw product, but he's also 20.
Right.
So like you don't want him to be the super raw Amari Stoudemire freak and then also 22.
Right.
It seems like he should have been 18 at this point. It's like LaMelo Ball. It's like, wow, he's got some like flashes of what he can be, but you know, he's only 19. Maybe by age 22, he could do something. Yeah. Obi Toppin he's just started playing organized basketball 6 years ago.
Obi Toppin dribbles like me when I know that everyone else is better than me on the court, where it mentally plays with my head and I like dribble with an open palm. Like I'm not like slick with the ball at all. I'm like, oh God, bounce, just bounce, just bounce. Oh God, please don't guard me too tight. Please don't guard me too tight. I mean,
and his threes are like huge arcing, like when it swishes it looks beautiful, but like sometimes it just hits the other side of the backboard and doesn't even draw iron. You're like, holy shit.
Yeah, I'm nervous because people get psyched about his dunking, but it's like, if we just wanted cool dunkers, like you can find them, the guys who just like throw down. I get it, that's cool.
You have some on your team
already.
I mean
that's cool. And like we don't even have a point guard that can really facilitate those great dunks right now, so
right,
I'm hopeful that he is going to completely prove me wrong. It seems like the Knicks front office, Leon, really seemed like that's the dude he wanted and didn't take Halliburton, who does seem really well-rounded in Sacramento.
Halliburton's been awesome. Yeah, holy
just
shit.
Like he's a like, good...
He looks like Malcolm Brogdon
exactly.
already. Yes.
He looks just great. Like that when the game comes naturally to you at that age, it's like, well, you're going to be really good for a really long time. OB, it's like, should you be unproven at 22 coming out of Dayton? TBD?
He's a day younger than Jason Tatum. For example, it's like by 22 you're supposed to sort of know who this guy
but
is.
But the one thing that is I constantly tell myself about him is that when you get to the NBA, just like when you get to the NFL, it's like the speed of the game definitely is faster, the guys are definitely bigger, they definitely talk more shit, and so it comes down to like slow the game down mentally. Like RJ Barrett seems like the game has slowed down a lot for him this season, you know, so
yeah,
that's what I'm telling myself about him.
It's still early days.
Yeah, but he dribbles like me, and that's very concerning.
You don't want to do anything like me. Actually, I looked up, Trae Young is almost identically your weight and height.
Jesus. I do? Yeah. Yeah.
It's cool to have an NBA MVP who's like 6'1", 175.
Yeah. Speaking of
if that happens.
Surprising sizes of NBA players, real quick, Amir, because I think that this would be a good thing to seed out to the Buckets listeners before we get out of here. You sent me a text, and you sent me a text about Giannis' shoe size. His shoe size is what number, Amir?
This is according to Google, and I personally don't even believe it, but if you Google search Giannis' shoe size in big block lettering, like before it even sends you to a web page, Google's like, I got this. Giannis is a size 12.
Okay. And so then I asked you, I said, hey, Amir, who do you think has the smallest shoe size in the NBA?
Right.
And you said,
Isaiah Thomas, but he's not in the NBA anymore. Anybody who's like under 6 feet, I would imagine as like a size 10.
So I Googled Isaiah Thomas shoe size, and what did Google pop up with big block letters? 12. So
so it just says any NBA player.
So either Google tells you that every NBA player has a shoe size 12, which is its own funny little weird joke and quirk, or...
Which I think is your shoe size, right?
It's 11 and a half. So, I mean, sure. If it's a, if it's a work boot, let's call it a 12. So okay. Let's seed out to the Buckets listeners and maybe the Reddit community. And if it is Reddit, make sure that you credit Buckets because we want to be a front page. We're trying to find a single-digit shoe in the NBA. Not NBA history, because I'm sure that like Bob Cousy had an 8.5. I don't know. Current 2020 to 2021 shoes. We're looking for a 9.5 or lower in the NBA.
A women's 10, ideally.
Yes.
Yes. A European 41. Right. Okay. I think it's
if
possible.
Giannis has a 12, I highly anything
doubt,
is possible.
I highly doubt Giannis is a 12. I highly doubt. I can't believe that. His feet, his hands are a 12. And that's like not even thinking about, there's no reason to think that his feet are a size one above
that,
me.
That's that makes me think that like you could put his left and right foot in Shaq's sneaker.
Yeah, well, 22, sure. Right?
They used to have like his like novelty shoe in my local Foot Locker. And you know, just like one single shoe to be like, look at this shoe.
It's a fucking bathrobe. Right. Two things that came up earlier. Anthony Edwards, have you seen his interviews? He's a very dry, funny guy.
Dude is confident and hilarious.
Clips. He kind of has like Jimmy Butler vibes already. Yes. And he's like, what, 18, 19 years old, like number one pick. He just like, how he's like, I will be the best athlete at anything. And she's like, tennis? He's like, A1 since day
one. She said, she also said, you played baseball. He's like, yeah, I batted fourth or fifth. He's like, clean up aisle three.
Yeah, that's right. You know what that is? Clean up aisle three.
Amazing. Give me all that. Give me all that.
And another rookie who looks like an absolute monster, who's, again, very rough because he only played four games in college and is 19 years old, so he has the right to look like a deer on skates, is James Wiseman. I mean, have you seen him play? He's a fucking freak.
Yeah.
He's an absolute freak.
He,
like, jumps out of the gym, fucking goes coast to coast in four dribbles and yams on someone. You're like, holy shit.
I'm pretty sure it was our favorite boiled hot dog, Mason Plumlee, who went up for a shot. Weissman just like blocked it, just like effortless. Like, don't shoot it in front of me, dude. He blocked it, took it, dribbled it. Then Euro stepped over a dude and just threw it down. Kid is like 14 years old.
You're like, oh my. He is definitely closer to a 14-year-old than us. He's closer to a 2-year-old than he is
that
to us.
Actually hurts. That's that right. Actually hurts. Yeah.
he's 17 years away from a 2-year-old and 18 years away from
and us. Surprisingly he has a size 6 shoe.
I can't believe that. I literally cannot believe that.
According to Google.
Not in a way that's like unbelievable. It's actually not believable. All right, cool. Let's it's almost time to start watching basketball again. So let's do
that. Okay, let's do it.
And of course, thanks to you guys for listening. Let us know if there's any trends or ends we missed. We'll be on the tweets all the time. Billy, what's your handle? How can people find more of
you? It's my name, at Billy Scafuri on Twitter, at Instagram.
That's right. It's that easy, folks. Let us know. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back in 4 more games, maybe 8 more games, so we can get a larger sample size. Will the Lakers be 2-10 by then? Let's find out.
Will the Knicks be 10-2? Most likely.
Enjoy. Bye, everybody.
That was a HeadGum podcast.